as we venture into the scripture, into this maze of the word, may your spirit be buoyant. May you be alive and arise and take a posture of, I want to hear what God has to say. And let all the nuggets and the gems that might come forth be a beacon of light and a torch of righteousness that we can shine into this dark world. And may our lifestyles never remain the same. You know, we can leave from this place very much stirred by the word of the Lord, but not really changed. And we will find out why I say that as we go along. But God wants to really sovereignly change our lifestyles and our behaviors. And so this morning the heavens are echoing to all of us. Let him who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church. And our response to Abba Father this morning is, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Let your word come to us like rain. So let's go to the scriptures this morning, and we will find our reading in Genesis chapter 15. And we will read verse 1 to 6. Follow with me. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward the heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Amen. Verse 1, Luke says, after these things. So I had to go back. After what things are you talking about, God? And without going back to the scriptures, chapter 13, chapter 14, speaks about how Abram had to part from Lot, or vice versa, for the sake of righteousness, because there was quarrelsome issues, there was trouble amongst his boatmen's herdsmen. And they had to separate. We read also in chapter 13 how in that separation, Lot found himself in a dilemma where he was positioned inaccurately. And now there was a situation that he needed to be helped. He needed to be relieved from his problemsome situation. What we learn from the portion of scripture is when it says, after these things, Abram went back to the same man that he had to separate from, to go and help him, to go and save him, to go and assist him. The Bible says, but he came up against Chedorlaomer and a coalition of three kings, we know this, and he had to put his life on the line for his brother. And he had to fight, and he had to rescue Lot from that situation. And after rescuing Lot and overcoming all these kings that came up against him, he gave the Melchizedek tithe. Without the help of a teaching, a program, a conference on finances, three steps on how to grow into giving accurately, nothing of that happened. Reflexively, instinctively, without any persuasion from outside forces, he came and he brought the tithe unto the Lord. Now you ask yourself, is that all he did to be counted as righteous? You must remember in the portion of scripture it says, family, that he says this word, I am childless. Childless denotes the fact that his wife's womb is closed, it's barren. Okay. And he says, the only person that will inherit in my estate is Eliezer. Who's Eliezer? His senior slave. The culture of that day is you, the senior slave, if there's no children born to the people of this property or of this inheritance, the senior slave will inherit. God comes to and say to him, that's never going to happen. You will not allow a slave to inherit what I've intended. Verse 6 is where we want to camp this morning for a few moments. And he believed. And he believed in the Lord. And he accounted it to him for righteousness. Believing is a very critical part of gaining righteousness. You have to believe. You have to believe against all odds that in my believing, I will receive righteousness. It's amazing how Scripture uses this word, accounted. And the sharp minds already think accountancy, adding and subtraction, books, putting things in, this, taking things out. I want to say to us this morning, without believing, the account that I have will never be debited with volumes of righteousness. I only have to believe with a blind belief and cause huge deposits of righteousness to come into my account. Think accountancy. Think bookkeeping. Think that scenario. The word accounted means, the Hebrew word means kashav. It's spelled C-H-A-S-H-A-H-V, but it's pronounced kashav. It means it is reckoned to you. It is calculated to you. It is counted to you, added up to you. But the English dictionary says a number of elements which resulted in a conclusion based on a wide range of overview. Sounds very confusing, but all it says is Abram has done a range of things. God took his calculator of righteousness, added up all the things that Abram has done, and the outcome, the final product was, we call him Mr. Righteousness. And so it's important that we realize, even though Abram himself was childless, he had no heir, he behaved like someone who has everything in place. Let that be a lesson to us. We might not have everything in place the way we want it, but it does not give us permission to not believe, not trust. You always have to hope in God. Always have to believe in God. And this is the message that I want to come to you this morning with, to encourage you. The basis, the foundation of all Abram's belief, of all Abram's righteousness, was belief. It says, if the cement was called belief, to uphold the whole structure. Okay? And so, but besides the fact that he helped Lot, he overcame kings, he fought for his brother's life, he rescued Lot, it is important to know that he's done more than just that to make sure that his righteousness account stays overflowing. And this is when I was drawn, Luke, to Genesis chapter 18. Verse 1 says, then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees in Mamre as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by. Inasmuch as you have come to your servant, they said, do as you have said. So Abram hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. And Abram ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to the young men, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, "Where's Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Sarah, listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abram and Sarah were old, well advanced in years, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I've grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?" And the Lord said to Abram, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child, since I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Verse 15. But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh, for she was afraid." And he said, "No, but you did laugh." Amen. Let's learn a few principles from this portion of Scripture. In verse 2, the Bible says, Abraham ran. And when he saw them, he ran towards them. Principle number one. In all our doing, there should be a running towards the carrier of grace. A running towards the man who has a voice on behalf of the voice of God. There should always be a consistent, "And I will run to you." That should be our prayer all the time. That should be our demeanor. That should be our deepest desire. Verse 2 also mentions that he bowed himself. If you run towards the man of God, if you run towards the house of God, if you run towards God's servant, it must also be that you want to humble yourself. You want to take a deep humility disposition where you want to say, "Unless you speak over me, I'm going to find no grace. I'm going to find no righteousness. I'm going to find no favor unless you speak over me." Verse 3, he calls these men, "My Lord." And I've learned from that there's a deep, deep acknowledgement and a realization of the grace that the man of God carries. Pastor Randolph to us is the mantle that covers us, that cloaks us. When we were supposed to have gone really wayward, it's the same cloak that finds you and covers you and brings you back. And so Abraham has a disposition of "My Lord." He has a deep realization. It's not a familiarity place. Yes, Pastor Randolph is approachable. He's open. He's accessible. But I have a line that I know, this is the man of God. I need to know where to stop. I need to know where to draw a line in the sand and regard him for the grace that he carries. Verse 3 also says, "I found favor in your sight to do not pass on by your servant." Once again, the willingness to be the least. The willingness to be the least. That is such a opposite to what the world wants us to be. In the world, we trample upon each other for that position, for that place, for being noticed, for being affirmed. But in the kingdom of God, it's somehow God's divine way of saying, the lower you go, the more righteousness I'll give. And so he says, "I'll be a servant. I want to be a servant to you." Verse 4, the first word says, "Please." He's begging to be a son. He's begging, "Can I please refresh you? Can I please do something for you? Because if I don't, I might not be complete in my sonship." The word "please" speaks of a desperation to be in line with God's intent. And so he wants to provide water And he wants to provide rest. That means refreshing and a time of rest, so that whatever is the mandate further, Pastor Randolph, we need to refresh you in such a way you mustn't get tired. You must be refreshed from this household so that the nations can be blessed. This household must not make his task heavy, and that when he's in the nations, he worries about us. It shouldn't be like that. He should leave from this place refreshed and strengthened to go and do the work of the ministry far from here. Amen. Verse 4. Please let a little water brought and wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree. Under the tree, it's a shady place. It's a cool place. So whatever I learn from under the tree is a place of a cool of the day moment. When our spiritual father stands here and he brings to us grace, it's a cool of the day moment where we sit in the shade of his words and we are refreshed and we are fed, but we are also built up for the dealings of God. Let's go to verse 6. So Abram hurried. Hurried. Hurried is also a strong word that says, I understand the urgency of Gate Durban Central Ministries. I understand the urgency of what this house represents. I understand that we are in a season where we have to be firm and strong. I understand the ebbs and flows of God's dealings in this house. And as a son, I hurry myself to see that things come to pass. I understand the Father's heartbeat. That is our constant desire. So he hurried. Verse 7 says a synonym, and Abram ran. No time to waste, sons of God. No time to delay, sons of God. No time to hold back, sons of God. Retract and stand aloof to the purposes and the doings of God. When Abram ran, it means that there is a matter that needs urgent attention. And this should be our faces. When the Bible says, I set my face like a flint, it is, I am ready to do what I'm supposed to do. I know maybe I'm speaking to the wrong church this morning, but let God teach us all something because maybe we got these things in place. But should you or myself find ourselves, I'm not running, I'm not hurried, I'm not humble the way I should be humble, I'm not passionate the way I should be passionate, let the word this morning bring us to a place of rightness. Verse 7 says, hastened. There at the bottom it says the word hastened. And it's amazing, verse 2, verse 6, verse 7, it's almost like God is using a word, then he builds on it, and he builds on it, and every time he uses a better synonym to make sure you understand the urgency. He hastened, which is an emphasis of the critical importance to accomplish mandate. First we ran, and after that we hurried, and after that we hastened. But it's all about chasing after the purposes of God, chasing after the voice. The worship team sang just now, and I will run to you, proclaiming that it's good to do it in a song. It's even better to do it for myself, running and chasing after God. Verse 7 addresses a powerful issue. It says, he gave it to the young men, and he hastened to prepare it. Young men, Jeremy them, the Bible says, I speak to you, young men, because you are strong. It confirms a spirit, not only for the young men, but for each and every one of us. The spirit of soldier, the spirit of warrior, the spirit of strength and might on the inside that's going to help our Father do the business of the Lord. We must become sons of God, the strong battle axe of our God. The strong battle axe of our God. And verse 8 says, So he took butter and milk and the calf and he had which he prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them. The stood by them principle, it's a side-by-side stance. A side-by-side stance. A standing shoulder to shoulder to our spiritual father and keep watch and scan and keep our eyes on the exchanges of mandate that's taking place. You cannot do that from a distance. You cannot do that from a distance. So I learned from this portion of scripture that Abraham did quite a few things, a range of things, to make sure that his righteousness account is filled and is daily deposited. Abram tapped into a dimension that no one told him, no one advised him. Instinctively, on the inside of himself, he decided, this is going to be my response, whatever the outcome. And God accounted it to him for righteousness. And without the prompting of any external forces, the drive was a fully persuaded mind, a fully persuaded spirit, a fully persuaded posture that would take him from one level to the next. I wrote here, his belief and range of actions resulted in his account dripping with righteousness. And for us, our continuous enactment of all the principles that we've just gone through will upgrade our account of righteousness with boundless measures of righteousness. And then the problem starts. Quinn, you ask, do you know what I go through in life? Do you know the testings of my life? Do you know that you're asking me to believe? My belief level is this much, brother. You do not know how much I'm going through. You want me to believe, but I think I am losing my belief. Now remember, without belief, there's no righteousness. I have challenges. I have shortcomings. I have failures. And somehow you asking me this morning to believe so that I can have righteousness. Do you even know what I go through at home? And we all can have a song, a lament about the stuff that we face at work and at home and with our colleagues. God always places some colonized person in your way to keep you humble. Make sure you know how to call on God. You say this morning, Quinn, do you know my belief system has not even been shaken? It has been shattered into pieces. My heart licks the strength to believe. If that is you, I want to encourage you this morning. God wants to strengthen your belief so that he can pour into your life greater measures of righteousness. Now, there is someone whose belief system was shattered. And we're going to look at verse 9. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? You know that person behind the door? If I ask Jeremy, go stand behind the door, he's not going to enjoy the service. It's too far. He wants to be close. So we meet Sarah. Sarah means, her name means she knows. And it means princess. Verse 10. There's a promise in verse 10 that she will receive a son. Not just the baby, not just the child, specifically a son. And a son equals an heir. Now the slave was going to inherit, but God says, I have a plan that your own son will inherit. And she was listening. But with which ear are you listening this morning? Because she's listening with the ear of a soul, and she tells herself, they don't know what they're talking about. Laughing. There, behind the door. Laughing. Does these men know how old I am? Do they know how old I am? Do they know how old is my husband? Do they know that at this stage of my life, little pink feet is not part of my plan? We leave that for young married couples who want and desire to have children. But Sarah, at her age, says, I've reached my expiry date. That level, that is no more part of my... And it's from that vantage point that which she responds, not from a place of belief. And you know what? Verse 11 says she gives the reason. She says, we are old, we are advanced in years, childbearing. No, not for us. Verse 12 and 13 says, Sarah laughed. Okay? Sarah laughed within herself. Verse 15 says, but Sarah denied it. I did not laugh. You're still lying. For she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. And this morning I want to speak on the flip side of how Abram responded. Abram responded in a certain way. It was accounted to him for righteousness. How did Sarah respond? She laughed. And you know what? The men of God who were at the house at that day, when they heard her laughing, they heard her heart. And sometimes we say things and we hear your heart. Sometimes we behave in a certain way and God hears your heart. Okay? And sometimes I do things in such a way, God hears my heart, just like he heard her heart. So they heard beyond the laughing and beyond the giggles. And I wrote here, they heard not only the lack of belief, but they also heard the lack of righteousness. They heard that her account was lacking. What did these men of God hear? They heard a laughing at the voice of God. They represent the voice of God. And she laughed at that. They heard her laughing at the principles that Abram stood for. They heard her laughing at her failure to see the future. They heard her laughing at God's divine abilities to change things. They heard her laughing at destiny. They heard her laughing at generational mandate, that of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. They heard her laughing at her unborn child. That's what they heard. Now, if you don't know it, before her name was Sarah, which means she knows, princess. Her name was Sarai, S-A-R-A-I, which means quarrelsome. You're forever negative, quarreling about matters. And I believe Sarah responded from her old name, her old nature, the nature that does not believe, the quarrelsome nature. That's the nature that laughed. So we need to be careful how we respond, because just now our laughter aborts our destiny. Just now our laughter aborts our destiny. There is a mandate over this house. And God will use Pastor Randolph mightily, regardless how you and I respond, because the calling of God is on Pastor Randolph's life. However, it is for us as sons of this house to come to a place where we realize it's not just like Sarah, it's not just about the baby, it's about what that baby represents in the future. The lineage, the family tree, the genealogy is at stake. Sarah did not know about the lineage, the genealogy, the family tree, and how Jesus would come from this line. She didn't know that, and that's why she laughed. Sometimes when we go through our stuff, it blinds us to see where we actually are going to end up, or where actually we are supposed to be going, what God has intended for us, when we laugh from the sidelines. And so Sarah's laughing is a serious concern. Many people come to church day by day, not only this household, all over the globe. People go to church. How many go home and laugh about a matter that happened in church? And our laughing is a cancellation of a deposit of righteousness. But she is so lucky that God did not have anger or wrath against her for laughing. We remember Hannah, who actually laid in front of the altar, begging, lamenting, crying, sobbing, praying from a deep place, God, give me a son. And for it's two total different ladies. One is begging the other one, you're going to have one. It's just going to be that easy. However, you're laughing about it. So Sarah could have missed her divine, honorable place to be a part of Jesus' lineage. We need to really look at ourselves, look at myself, and say, am I busy aborting the purposes of God by going home and laughing about this, that, and the other? About, it's a pie in the sky message. I'm not so sure if I really believe that. I'm not so sure if I like that statement. I'm not so sure if I can trust that statement. If we do that, we're laughing. The question is, you can say, but Quinn, you never saw me laugh. I never ever laughed. Yes, I never. But if you respond opposite to Abraham's responses, you are laughing. And if we are laughing, we lack righteousness. When I respond inaccurately in reference to my spiritual father, that's accounted as laughing. When I would hold my resources, Abram, milk, butter, bread, water, and something to slaughter. He would held nothing. He gave whatever he could to provide for the servants of the Lord. Every resource he had in his availability, he gave it. And for us, it means sometimes I need to nourish. Sometimes I need to finance. Sometimes I need to be a smile. Sometimes I need to be a hug. Sometimes I need to be a word to someone else so that there can be refreshing to the sons and to the house of the Lord. But if I stay behind the door, afar off and aloof, I cannot provide proper, accurate support to the purposes of God. I fail in my righteousness when I do not realize the mantle that's hanging over this ministry. When I am slow in my attention actions towards God's doings. This morning was very profound for me in many ways. The fact that when I walked in here, I met Keegan for the first time. You who do not know Keegan, it's the drama. Keegan came to the church just now. When? 2-3 weeks ago? He's been visiting. And this morning when I saw that, okay, I realized how some sons run faster than some sons. And God has really said to me, this is what I want to teach the house, how you need to pace, but also fasten the pace. Because there's an urgency in the race. And here comes Keegan from, Pastor Randolph would say, Johnny, come lately. And start functioning. To see that the house is flourishing. To see that there's purpose being accomplished. To see that things are being facilitated the way it should. You and I need to really do the same. So if I respond in a slow, sluggish, dragging my feet mentality, I am canceling the deposits of righteousness that should come into my account. When I don't believe the words that comes from the angelos, and my soulish part wants to go home and first seek for answers myself. I want to analytically decide for myself how this is working or not working. However, Abram didn't do that. He reflexively responded. And sometimes God just wants that from us. Say yes, even if you don't understand. Say yes to God's doings. Amen. And this morning, I want us to realize that standing behind the door is not God's part for our lives. And that expression of laughter, it could move or shove us to the sidelines, to the periphery. And God could go to the other church on the other corner and find an Abram posture company and ask them to do what he wants to do. But I do believe here sits a company of people who can and who are willing to take up their place. Our Isaac must not be aborted. Our Isaac must not be aborted. Just think what would have been transpired, family, if Esther laughed at Mordecai. The whole nation of Israel would have been wiped out. If Rahab laughed at the spies who came for some shelter, hide us. The walls of Jericho might have still be standing today if she laughed. If Mary laughed, she would have missed what is most important. I mean, without Mary, that vessel, I believe the heavens would have decided on someone else. But it's about don't laugh so that your selection can be sure. If Ruth had to laugh at Naomi, she would have ended up like the other sister. We don't read about her. We don't read about her like the other daughter-in-law. Our biggest challenge to our righteousness is unbelief. It will change the whole course of our history. If those ladies laughed, there would have been a disturbance in our genealogy. There would have been a disturbance in our family line. It would have even bring a halt to God's doings, and sometimes a curve in the road or a detour. You and I know a detour is the most irritating thing. Ask the children of Israel. An 11-day journey became a 40-year journey. That's a detour, if ever I've seen one. If we fail to stand on point for God, we will create a detour and we will come here for the next 40 years and come and ask ourselves, why are we circling this mountain so much? So let's this morning realize that a detour is a troublesome thing. And it's all sometimes because we don't believe and we do not trust God for the things that needs to be done. I ask this morning that our laughter be that of joy, a joy to do the things of the Lord, a joy to put up the sound and to make sure everything's in place, a joy to be on point at the door, a joy to be loving and kind to the brethren in the seats, a joy to facilitate God's doings in the house, a joy. Let your spiritual father say, what a joy when that son walks in. Let our laughter be that of victory, because we always overcome. We are challenged on many fronts, but somehow we do overcome. Let our laughter and our singing be a response that comes from a place of total belief and trust in what? In the word that are being preached here, in the voice that are preaching the word, and in the heavens that mandates that word. Let our laughter be our God, our spiritual father, and the word. Those three things, those three entities is what makes our lives better. And maybe you won't win the lotto. It's fine. But there's riches beyond currency that God is interested in. Many people's going to quote the next scripture by Aquan. You can't say that, eh? Because the Bible also says money answers all things. Yes. But the Bible also says choose God or mammon. And sometimes we run after many things, but we don't run after God. We don't run after the voice the way we should. We don't run after God's doings and purposes the way we should. We run after many things. We are called, church. We are like Abram, selected for great works. We are all called to migrate from just being a son, so mature, so yours, that you become in your own posture. Though I am a son to Randolph, I'm a spiritual father myself. That degree of sonship. I can be a father to the others in the house when my fathering grace is needed. So I want to encourage us this morning, never retreat. Don't pull back. Don't retract. No, don't give up. Don't miss the visitors that comes to our house that wants to pour grace and redemption to us. We must function like we are Abraham's sons. We must function like Isaac. Isaac for us is in the birth canal. And we cannot stop this birth. God wants to assist us and He wants us to be a part of heaven's design. Heaven's got a plan, and heaven has decided that Gate Ministries Durban Central is part of the plan. You and I could decide we're going to laugh or we're going to believe. The choice is ours. Sarah did receive her Isaac. She did receive her Isaac. I know God can show mercy even when we are in unbelief, when we are in doubt. He'll show mercy and He'll restore and He'll vindicate and He'll bring refreshment again. I want to declare to the house this morning, your situation, all is not lost. Grace flows when we choose to rather believe instead of love. The question comes, will I believe instinctively or will I laugh behind the door? Our righteousness deposit comes from God, but it's linked to our persistent chasing after God, chasing after the Word, chasing after the voice, the carrier of grace, the instruction that comes from the heavens via a spiritual father. You and I can determine our destiny, and the account can be either overflowing with righteousness or depleted in righteousness. And it's all based on how did I respond? How did I respond? And even though for 30 years you've been coming to the house and you really feel you have not seen much change, do not give up. Do not give up. God will not allow us to stand ashamed. As long as we believe and as long as we trust, God is willing to meet with us and to cause us to go to an upward movement in Him. Wait until our Isaac manifests. That is the word of the Lord this morning. Your Isaac will manifest as long as you believe. Keep your belief. Let's just close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you speak to us like sons, not like orphans. We thank you, Spirit of God, that you speak to us in a way that makes us realize we are not forgotten. We are not overlooked. And the troubles and the testings and the hardships of this life may buffer us, but will never kill us. As long as we stay true to believing your word, God, believing your prophets, believing your apostles, believing our spiritual father, the intent of the heavens is to build righteousness on the inside of us. And we, Father God, are here this morning and we humble ourselves under your speaking. We bow under your speaking. We submit ourselves to your speaking. God, we do not know how you will do the things that you say you want to do with Gate Durban Central. We don't see right now, but help us, oh God, to never lose our belief that there's a greater destiny and a greater purpose for this household of faith. I declare that young and old, keep your belief. keep your trust in God. Mothers, keep your belief. Fathers, keep your belief. Young men, stand strong in your belief that what you do for Christ will last. And so this morning, Father, we thank you that your word has come to us like rain. We all, Father, are soaked under the rhema of your word. We ask, Father, that you wash us, cleanse us, pour righteousness on the inside of us. We choose to believe the speakings of God. We choose to believe the speakings of God. Lift a hand to the Lord if you agree this morning. Father, we choose to believe that as we trust you, you will restore, you will redeem, you will refresh and you will vindicate. You will do good things as long as we keep our belief. And Father, help us when we were at a place of unbelief. When we are at a place where we have lost our belief, where our belief has waned and has withered, oh God, help us. Make us strong again. You redeemed Sarah. You did give her a son, God. And so I know, even though we sometimes have been lacking, failing, disappointing, oh God, you will restore that which you have promised. Every prophetic word that has been spoken over your family and over your life, I decree by the grace of God right now, believe that it will come to pass. I say this to myself as well. Father, we stand here. We stand here knowing that you want us to birth things into the earth. Isaacs. And sometimes, God, we find ourselves wanting in being strong. And so, God, your word came to us to strengthen us from the inside out, to build us from the inside out. When we leave here, we promise, Father, we will not laugh. We will not stand behind the door and laugh and mock and scorn and scoff at the dealings of God. Rather, we choose, God, to run, to hasten, to hurry, and to be vociferous in the dealings of God. So I bless the house this morning. I bless every family. I bless every household, every mom and dad and their children. I bless the young ones. I bless the young adults, oh God. Nothing that you've planned for this house will be aborted. I prophesy, nothing for this house that you have intended, God, will be aborted. But the purposes of God will be accomplished. Keep on believing. Keep on trusting. Do not look frantically to the left and to the right, looking for sources that could assist you, but rather keep your eyes fixed on the mantle that is over you. Hallelujah. We bless your name, God. We do adore you, God. We run to you, for you have the words of life. Unto you, Father, be glory in the church this morning. We hear you, God. We hear your heart. We hear your lament for the house to keep on believing. Many of us maybe have come to a place where we said, I don't think we're moving in any direction. God comes and says to us, believe me. Believe what I said. Believe what I've said. You will get that job. You will get that promotion. You will be acknowledged. Your path will be clear as long as you keep your eye singular to the purposes of God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I thank you, Father, that you spoke to us like a father would speak to his sons. And for that we are eternally grateful. Be glorified, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.